from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Post-Labor Day, if you're rubbing the sleep out of your eyes or recovering from a big weekend. Yes, you see this right. Florida State lost to Boston College at home last night. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. That's it. Florida State, their season. It would be beyond a miracle at this point, Pearl, for them to make the college football playoff. I don't see it happening. And to me, all a hangover from last year. They have not gotten right after getting snubbed in the college football playoff. Something is just wrong, rotten. They are just fallen off, and I think that snub derailed the entire program. This was not just a team that won 13 games last year. They'd won 10 games the year before, so you're on this upswing, and now you start the season 0-2. You lose to Georgia Tech and Ireland. Now you're a 16.5-point favorite in Tallahassee. Hot, humid. You've got the better team on paper. You're picked to win the conference. Boston College is picked to come in 14th place out of 17 teams, and you got smoked last night. Just an embarrassment.
Yeah, you're bad if you're Florida State. This year is over. Now I wonder where you go with the program, too, is an interesting question to me. Last year, I think everyone was super high on Mike Norvell. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, oh, okay, is this guy looks good. We have to stick with him for a while. I mean, who knows?
Just give him an 8-year extension.
It's college football.
Yeah, that's true.
In 2 or 3 years, what if they have a losing season here, have another losing season next year? Very possible. I mean, are we getting closer to the inevitable train wreck that is Deion Sanders coming back to Tallahassee?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I mean, wait, where's Deion going to go? To coach the Cowboys or coach the Seminoles? Didn't they pass on him once already at Florida State?
They did. Yeah, we'll give him the Atlanta Falcons. He'll coach both Atlanta, the Braves, and the Falcons. Yeah, same day. Anyway, it just does feel like, I agree with you, the whole program feels down. And maybe I'm reacting to the moment, but I just feel like last year was magical, and they're not going to recapture it. And I'm not sure ever. I mean, look at the look at the talent that left that building. It's really crazy. We now know how good those guys were. Lewis Riddick had a lot of great points last night on the telecast. He's like, the guys who got everyone fired up, they all left. Yeah. All the character guys, all the rah-rah guys, all the inspiring guys left the building. I don't think it's easy to get that in the transfer portal, Maggie. I think sometimes that kind of football character is just there or it is not.
Well, and to be honest, and not to place this all on the quarterback because it's not all his fault, but DJU is not an inspiring choice.
I mean, yes, you say that, but what about the defensive line?
Well, they were not good either. But again, if you're asking me, like, when we generally say, where does a team take its cues from? And that can happen from a defense, and that can be the identity. But a lot of times it's the quarterback.
Yeah, but if you let
DJU 200... was not good.
DJU can't do it. 275 yards rushing against Boston College. What is that about? What does that have to do with a quarterback?
Well, he was not good, though. It's like they were not sustaining drives. They were not keeping Boston College offense off the field. I get it. I get it.
I mean, actually, DJU's brother had 2 sacks for Oregon. He's sick. They need him more than they need DJU right now.
Probably. It was a full-throttle beatdown. And Bill O'Brien, who's now the head coach of Boston College, yes, that Bill O'Brien, Houston Texans, New England Patriots Bill O'Brien, Penn State Bill O'Brien, called off the dogs, started kneeling, did the NFL thing, not the college football thing. It could have been even worse. You know, the funny other part about this for Florida State, they're suing the ACC to try to get out of it, right?
Yeah.
You're going to go to the SEC? Good luck with all that. You're going to go to the Big Ten? Have fun with that. You think these losses are bad, losing to Georgia Tech and Boston College? It's a step up in weight class to go to one of these other conferences. And I know Florida State has the pedigree and they've got the, you know, it's the lore. You know, they're one of the great programs in college football, but they go to the SEC or the Big Ten, it might be real curtains for them in terms of relevance.
Probably beat Florida, though.
Florida right now is the only team that's probably in worse shape than Florida State. It was a bad weekend for
Florida.
Things
change quickly in the Sunshine State.
That is true. EJ's Hurricanes on top of the mountain now with Cam Ward looking like a Heisman Trophy. He's not the front runner yet by the betting market. That's still Dylan Gabriel somehow is still leading. I don't see that. But Cam Ward quickly flying up the Heisman ranks, Pearl.
Ah, Cam Ward. I love Cam Ward. That guy will throw from any arm angle. He looks like he put on 20 pounds of muscle. Everything is coming up for the former Incarnate Ward quarterback. He is going to be fantastic. I mean, I think NFL, I think watching everybody, they knew about Carson Beck. They knew all about Shador. I think Cam Ward at Washington State was on the radar. I think I read that he had a third or fourth round grade coming to last year's draft. Could have been drafted. Maybe would have fallen to the fifth round. He did the right thing by coming back because now he is a hot item.
Yeah, that is for sure. Okay, something that we're going to start doing here off of college football. Generally, we'll do this on Mondays, but obviously with the holiday, we'll do it on Tuesday. We're going to call it our report card. So EJ is going to throw out a couple things that we saw over the college football weekend, and Perloff and I, we're going to grade them. So EJ, let's do it.
All right, so let's get started in Las Vegas, where LSU suffered a tough defeat to USC 27-20. Brian Kelly not happy after the game, saying basically that he's tired of having this same conversation again that they had the last 2 years after losing in week one. So I want you guys, what is your grade for Brian Kelly?
Brian Kelly, the coach, gets a B. The fist bang gets an A.
Again, we're sitting here again.
As a fist banger myself, I appreciate a good fist bang. I didn't even know that I banged my fist until Perloff said it, that I'm a fist banger.
Yeah, I don't know. Brian's was quite affected, though. I give the fist banging as, I mean, play the whole sound. It's like the fakest coach quote I've ever heard in my entire life. Sounds like a movie. Actually, why don't you just do it for us, Maggie?
Again.
We're sitting here again.
Again. I like it. I'm giving the fist pound gets an A for me. The coach actually gets when I say a B, I'm going to lower that to a C. I mean, your team is undisciplined. Your team commits bad penalties. That's a reflection on the head coach. Brian Kelly was not good in that game.
Yeah, I give him a D. I mean, they should have won that game by 2 touchdowns. They had so many opportunities. They were moving the ball really well, shutting down USC early, let up a couple big plays that were kind of mental mistakes on the defense.
Yep.
Little things like offsides. Here's the reason they should have. That game was so loud for LSU. USC couldn't do anything. I don't know why in Las Vegas, of all places, so far away from LSU and so close to USC, it felt like a home game. But they basically had a home game over a team that just lost its own Heisman guy. I thought Brian Kelly's team was very disappointing. Now, that being said, they'll probably win 10 games because they seem to blow this game every year and win 10 games.
Well, the one thing I saw a fun thing about Brian Kelly, that Brian Kelly will, when you need to win 10 games, he'll win you 10 games. When you need to win 13, he'll win you 10 games. And that's sort of the thing about Brian Kelly. All right, so some bad marks for Kelly, but I give the fist pound. Give that an A.
Please stop doing that. I really don't like the fist pound.
Again, we're sitting here again.
Oh, Pearl, get on board. What's next, EJ?
Okay, so let's go to Brian Kelly's successor, who was 1-0 after beating Texas A&M. We're talking about Marcus Freeman, head coach of Notre Dame. He suffered some tough early losses in the past, but not this year. What grade are you giving Marcus Freeman for his performance in week one against Texas A&M for Notre Dame?
Well, A+. His performance, I don't know if you call it coach or performance, but The way he ran out of the tunnel in, talk about a hostile crowd. Oh, my God. He had that team. They looked to me like the more confident team from the get-go. It felt like A&M felt pressure under Jimbo Fisher or something. Like, it didn't feel like it was a road game. It felt like he gave his team confidence. And even though they didn't blow me away offensively at all, in fact, it looked kind of typical Notre Dame sluggish, I thought that he had that team playing, as close as the game was, he had that team playing like they were the better team. I give Freeman all the credit in the world.
Yeah, this is A-plus performance because they overcame the inexperience on the offensive line. I think they were really coached up, and I thought the defense looked really ferocious. I mean, let's talk about Notre Dame's defense for a second. Is this possible that we might be looking at one of the best defenses, if not the best in the country? I know that Texas A&M was not good. Connor Wegman was not good, their quarterback. There were some issues there in Mike Elko's first game at A&M. But this Notre Dame defense might be really special. I mean, we could be watching something really good, and they don't play anybody for a while. So I think they're going to keep stacking some really impressive wins.
I said it last week. You can fully expect them to show up, just dominate this regular season and show up in the Big 12 playoff and get blown away by an SEC team as usual.
The Big 12, then
college football playoff. Yeah, they are going to dominate this ridiculous schedule, and then come up against Alabama or maybe, I don't even know, this LSU team or somebody, and it's going to be completely different. I think it reminds me so much of the title year, the year they got the title. Like, let's see. Let's see when they play real teams, what happens. A&M is not a real team, by the way. Jimbo has got that program going the exact wrong direction.
Well, he's gone.
Mike Elko. Oh, wait. Whatever. Everyone there. First of all, they couldn't even line up at all on their own home crowd. Like, they felt like they were a mess going all over. Maybe it's the helmet. You mentioned the helmet communication. But A&M felt like they were the dumb road team. I couldn't understand what was going on there. And they're not new players either. There's Lato Wakeman's. What is this, his third year?
He's coming off an injury, but still, I mean, this is a team and a program with really deep pockets. They can afford anyone they want to go get, and it just is disappointing year after year. We'll see what Mike Elko does moving forward. EJ, who's next in our report card?
Okay, we talked about Perloff saying that Notre Dame is about to get crushed by the SEC in the college football playoff. Let's go to the SEC. Let's take the whole conference. Their performance in week one, what are you giving the SEC as a conference?
I'm going to give them an A, because they had the most 60-point wins by any conference in a single day in the AP poll era. That was Ole Miss winning 76-0, Auburn winning 73-3. Who else did you have here? Was it Tennessee?
Tennessee, I think.
Tennessee 69-3, and then Alabama 63-0. So obviously you had some lopsided wins, but then, you know, tough losses too, as we're watching. We're just talking about LSU with that tough loss. I'd say it's like an A. I don't know. I still think the SEC is going to be really the dominant conference. They're going to have more good teams than the Big Ten.
I give it a D. I mean, Big Ten looked like the much better conference. I mean, what Florida did against Miami was, number one, the most embarrassing thing. What LSU did on Sunday night, embarrassing. And then A&M, who was a top 25 team, really, there were basically three real matchups for the SEC. And then let's not even talk about Vanderbilt, Virginia Tech. That was awesome.
Yeah.
But there were three real matchups and they offered.
Okay, but Florida we know was going to be a struggle.
Florida, like, their preseason ranking wasn't that low.
Yeah, but Billy Napier was on the hot seat before the season even started. Now the guy can't even get a water bottle open. I mean, we knew that this was going to be tough. If you saw that video, it was amazing how he can't get the water bottle open. You feel for him. But then let's really, okay. Yes, I was disappointed by Connor Wegman and A&M. Yes, you're disappointed by LSU. Those two games came down to final plays. This was not blowouts here. They were final plays that could have gone either way. So I can't really say, wow, the SEC really laid down and got beaten like a drum. No, they had that one bad loss, the Florida loss. And Miami might be an all-time team with a great quarterback. So I'm not dinging the whole SEC for that.
Miami might be an all-time team?
EJ, not at all time like 0-1.
It's all about the U, baby.
But they brought in a lot of players, a good roster.
The SEC had three real games, and they offered. I mean, what made you think?
But the final plays, it's not like they didn't get steamrolled. A bounce here, a penalty call there. They're winning those games.
This is the SEC. This is not horseshoes, Maggie. This is the SEC. This is terrible. This could not be a worse start. Like, they're put to the test, and they completely failed. It feels like the Big Ten's going to roll them.
Oh, I didn't see it that way.
Big Ten looked amazing. I mean, I think that, I generally think, like, Penn State sent out a message.
I didn't think Michigan looked that great. Michigan, I didn't think Oregon looked that great.
I think SEC is in trouble. I think they were a little down last year, and I'm curious if they can. You're going to judge them against other SEC teams, fine, but let's see how they do out of conference. I think they need to step up and start winning some of these games. I mean, they could not. What I understand, Vanderbilt beat Virginia Tech, and that was exciting. Yep. It was an incredible game. They blew it in regulation, but generally, though, they just did not look like the SEC out of conference. I feel like LSU should win that game for sure. That's a start.
Yeah, but USC's good this year. Like, there's a possibility, Pearl, that USC's defense is
USC
good.
They have a Heisman Williams. Lost Caleb Williams.
And they might have another Heisman caliber quarterback in Miller Moss. So
there's
it's
not a
possible
single person
they're just good.
Yeah, I think LSU blew that game. We were just talking about Brian Kelly earlier. Like, you got to win that game. You have been poised for this season. I know you lost a Heisman Trophy winner, too, but you got to win these games. There's something wrong. I feel like SEC might actually be a little down.
EJ, who's the last one?
Okay, so last one here. Let's stay in the Big Ten, as we've been talking about Big Ten versus SEC. One of those teams that was not that impressive. Oregon, only winning 24-14, had to struggle against Idaho. What's your grade for the Oregon Ducks?
I give them no grade.
Why no grade?
Because if you blow out Idaho, then nobody cares. So why the fact that the game was relatively close are we going to care? You either don't count these early season games that don't mean anything, or you count them all of a sudden because it was a modest game and Dylan Gabriel, you know, had almost a perfect day. I'm not going to downgrade them because of this. Because
so give them a good grade then.
No, I'm giving them a non-grade because I'm saying you cannot judge these cupcake games one way or the other. So if they'd won 70-0, I would not give them an A.
Okay.
The fact that it was 24-14, I'm not going to give them a C. That, you see, it's a non-grade. It doesn't count. These games are just an exhibit. It's like a practice.
What are we doing here?
It's like a practice. It's Idaho.
This is not a practice segment, though. We're really on the air. We're really giving out grades.
I'm just saying, are you giving Ohio State an A for beating up Akron? No,
yeah,
of course not.
Of course.
No, you're not. You're giving Ohio State an A?
Well, I'm giving Oregon a B- because 17-14 in the fourth quarter against Idaho, ultimately you did win. So, okay, maybe we're not going for style points in week one, but this was definitely weird. You're getting down to the red zone. You're not able to score, and you've got your quarterback throwing 49 times, and you could barely put points on the board. This was very odd to me from Oregon. Weird stat line, weird game. Let Idaho hang around, clearly, for way too long, and you survived it, but I can't give you a good grade. But I actually will give you a grade because that's the exercise that we're doing right now.
This is when you were in school, you had a practice quiz. Do you guys remember practice quizzes? This was a practice quiz. If Oregon had aced this and won 70-7,
which I expected I would not them to do, and they did.
Why would you? So you give all those blowout teams A's? You can't do that either. That makes no sense.
Well, I'm just assuming they're getting A's. Yeah, we don't have to go through each one. But
no,
yeah.
None of them deserve A's. Like, you don't get an A for beating a small school up like 63-0. That doesn't prove anything. That's my point. So if you all of a sudden play one of these games close, you can't worry about it. They thought, you know, I'm just saying, just take it off. Don't worry, Duck fans. If you're out there, do not worry about the fact that this game was so close. There's nothing to be concerned about.
Okay. I don't follow this logic. I will grant that you are smarter than me on a lot of things. I don't follow this one. don't get it.
You follow this logic, right?
I get it. I wish I had more professors like Perloff when I was in grad school, you know, for the assignment, just give me just a no grade because I would have maybe had a better GPA. I do get it. It does feel a little bit like a cop out for the Ducks, though,
because
they did not look good. And
well, Maggie, though, but you can't give Ohio State and Alabama and all these schools A's for beating up.
But they're not on the report card. Brian Kelly, Marcus Freeman, the SEC, and Oregon.
So let me ask you this. Oregon had won, if they'd blown them out, would you have given them an A?
I don't think they would have made this particular segment because this is newsworthy because Oregon looked not good. And we expect them to be very good.
I'd say do not worry about what happened there. That was an aberration. You have to start, Oregon will look different. I'm telling you, I think they have Boise State next. They'll look different. This you cannot. These
you can still grade
cupcake games. You can grade. I'm just saying, do not. Basically, first of all, what'd you give them, a B minus?
I gave them a
Yes.
You should have given them D-. A D minus.
They pulled it out and won. So like got to give a little credit to that. Backs against the wall, 17-14 in the fourth quarter, and they did win. Now, Two-Ton Tony is in the chat that says Perloff makes up the rules as he goes.
That's true.
Right. That's not how school
Very
works.
Very factual.
That's not how school works. That's not how report cards work. You don't make it up as you go along.
You could say it's pass fail. You can pull out. Have you ever pulled out of a class in college? I used to do that all the time.
Oh, just to avoid a bad grade?
I'd be like 2 weeks in. I'm like, I'm not feeling this, and just drop it. I did that all. I would sign up for an extra class just to drop it. Hmm. Kind of like Oregon should have done with Idaho.
So I have this recurring terrible dream where somehow there's like a class in college that I forgot I was still signed up to.
Right.
And then there's a final coming, mm-hmm. and I'm not prepared. I've had this dream now for like, how old am I, 33? For like 10 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. I know I've seen other people have this same dream. I saw Mina Kimes tweeted this. I was like, my God, she has the same dream too. What is that?
This is my first panic attack ever was thinking I didn't have enough credits to graduate and thinking, oh man, like I did all this and paid all this money. And I forgot about underwater basket weaving, and I never went to the class, and no one ever told me about it. And now all of a sudden, all my friends are graduating, and I'm just going to be sitting there on the side.
Same dream.
Yeah, it's a classic.
It's so weird.
I just think that Dan Lanning has a new quarterback. You got to give them time. Like, do not judge. I'm trying to say in a play way, do not judge that loss. Because if you were actually giving an honest report, that was a D. That was a poor effort by Oregon. But I'm saying, like, don't give them that D because this is just like a ramp-up game. Now, that's an excuse, and I'm a Duck fan just like you are. We're both Ducks fans, let's face it. How can you not like Oregon?
Sure.
So I'm just saying, do not judge that game as harshly as it is. You know, it surprised me, too, that you mentioned I was surprised that Dylan Gabriel's still the Heisman favorite.
Me, too.
According to the books.
His stats
are insane.
Yeah, but it didn't look right, you know? 49 pass attempts? That's kind of maybe par for the course for Oregon. You're running a lot of plays, but there was something about it didn't compute about the stat line. I'm like watching him. I'm like, you are completing these passes, but none of them seemed that impressive to me. I thought there were other quarterbacks that played a lot better than he did.
You know, though, I'll be totally honest. Like, I barely watched any of that. Because I did not expect Oregon, Idaho to be.
Well, all of a sudden I was getting upset alerts. Yeah. So I had to get my rear end to a TV real quick.
Yeah, I don't know. 41 for 49, 380, two touchdowns. That'll work.
Do you remember one pass?
Yes, I saw a highlight of a touchdown that was pretty cool. Listen, Dylan Gabriel is a good quarterback. Let's not go after him.
No, he is a very good quarterback, but I didn't think this was indicative of that. And again, you're playing Idaho. It's not like they started off the season against LSU or something like that.
Yeah, I think that there's an adjustment period. I mean, we expect everyone to be, I said, Alabama, Georgia. Listen, Oregon had a great team last year. They lost a lot of those guys. You got to give them a little time. Maybe they'll be a different team by the time they really get into the heart of it. What's that, Ohio State, October 3rd or something? We'll see. Because to me, by the way, Ohio State blew out their opponent. They didn't look great to me either.
I agree.
They were letting Akron hang around the entire time as well. And Akron is not as good as Idaho because is it Idaho? I keep on.
Yeah,
I don't
the
know.
Vandals.
Yeah, yeah. I do not know much about their program. I have to be honest. I was
impressed. I thought they looked really good. Again, they had a great game plan. They came in. They were not intimidated. I was impressed with Idaho.
You bet on them next week?
Probably not. 855-212-4227. I can get myself a little more up to speed. 855-212-4227. Okay, those are some report cards and some grades. We have some NFL awards to hand out, some preseason awards. Perloff and I going on the record, not only on who's winning what individual award, but also the negative stuff. First coach fired, team that's going to disappoint. We cover all of that ground.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh,
I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Next.
Sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, it proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. All right, we have a lot of sports going on for Defensive Player of the Week. Baseball, WNBA, and of course, college football. Who chose the Defensive Player of the Week? Because that is the key to this entire thing.
Whose pick is this today?
Did anybody choose a defense?
I have defensive player of the week.
Okay. Oh, well, that's a whole different formula, Maggie.
Man, if only West Virginia had won that game, we could have given it to some type of Mountaineer.
I mean, guys, Zoo might be the defense for the week, because I just saw EJ raise his hand saying he did it. So Zoo stole the decision, it sounds like.
Oh, wait, do we have two?
We might.
I guess we do.
Well, I can tell you, one's going to be college football, one's going to be the WNBA, because that's Big Zoo and EJ.
I will defer to EJ on this one.
Well, maybe EJ
thought no one picked one and just raised his hand to be a team player. Can we all agree that that's what happened?
Another time for EJ to brag about his Miami Hurricanes, 41-17? No, does that count?
I'll go with that Malachi Starks of Georgia with that crazy interception that he apparently does all the time. But he's healthy and part of the basically all NFL Georgia defense. That was probably the defensive play of the weekend, because he was so athletic. So I'll go Malachi Starks.
Wait, what about the guy from Robert Morris? Didn't he come up with like the interception of the century?
Right, that was like that was the top play in SportsCenter.
But he picked it out of thin air and then did like an army roll to the ground to secure the football. Really impressive stuff.
And Angel Reese is the number one rebounder in WNBA history. That might be my guess.
Well, we would say rebounding defense, slightly different skills. I get the connection, but...
Yeah, ends possessions.
Also, too, nobody ever got more than 4 rebounds a game until Angel Reese had a WNBA. Every record is so easy to break. It's insane.
EJ, who'd you pick?
All right, so this week's Defensive Player of the Week is Jaden Harris from my Miami Hurricanes. Got to throw up to you. So Jaden Harris led the Canes in tackles with 7, had a sack and a half, and you want to talk about great interceptions this weekend, got a pick from his backside. The guy had an interception on a deflection where he's sitting on the ground and found a way to still come up with the ball. Everything was going right for my Canes. We got to give him a big shout out here. So, Jaden, you are Defensive Player of the Week for the U.
I feel like this is going to start a string of like 16 straight Miami Hurricanes. What will they do against Florida Atlantic or FAMU next week, right?
Yeah.
FAMU.
I don't know, EJ. You seem to have a lot of confidence. A lot of confidence in a program who has not exactly been consistent, let's say.
Let him have it.
Well, when was the last time we had a quarterback like Cam Ward? Let's be real. And look, and you know, Perloff, I have been extremely nervous about this game. I was extremely nervous about this season. I was not really buying into this hype. And then I watched them play on Saturday. And I said, oh, no, this is the Miami's back team that has been promised for 20 years. I don't know where we've been. I don't know what's been going on. But to see the way the defensive line was just blowing people up, Cam Waters throwing sidearm 30 yards into the back of the end zone. We're doing a gator chomp, thumbs down. I mean, I've not experienced a game like that in a long time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Florida helped you a little bit. The guys were just straight up quitting on the field. But no, I agree. It was very, very impressive. And so get ready. Now this show is taking on a whole new dimension EJ's Miami Hurricane fandom. Gosh, if the Jets are good, this is just going to be an insane fall.
They have a crazy easy schedule, like insanely.
I know.
It's like a high school schedule. So I'm saving up my money to bet against them in the playoff.
Yeah, the only ranked team on their schedule now is Florida State. Spoiler. They'll be ranked in about an hour. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines for us, and then we will finish out our NFL awards predictions on the other side. What's up, Bugs?
We don't have the details yet, but Niners All-Pro left tackle Trent Williams is back in Santa Clara this morning to finalize a new deal that'll end his holdout. Williams' current deal has no more guaranteed money left on it, hence that holdout. It's unclear if missing the summer prevents him from playing Monday night's opener with the Jets. And then there's this for San Francisco. Christian McCaffrey expected to practice today after missing most of camp with a calf strain. And the Dolphins had Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle back at practice yesterday, both apparently good to go for week one. Neither receiver played a preseason game this summer. Hill's been battling a thumb injury. Waddle's issues were undisclosed. And we are now 2 days away from the first real NFL game of the season. Chiefs-Ravens, a rematch of the AFC title game, which KC won in Baltimore, in case you forgot. Revenge will not be on Lamar Jackson's mind, though.
Any game I play, and I feel like it's a revenge game, so I'm not just going to look at this game like a revenge game. Anybody we play, no matter if we beat them or lost to them prior previous years, I just want to win.
So the usual focus for opening night.
I'm going to every game the same way. You know, I want to win regardless. Win, lose, or draw previous times, but every game motivation to me.
I think there would be some awkward huddles before the game. Lamar's like, you know, going up against the Tennessee Titans. He's like, we got to get back at these guys. This is a revenge game. Lamar, we beat them 47-3 last week. This is a revenge game. Yeah, I don't know if every game is a revenge game. It's a nice
very Michael Jordan-esque.
Yeah. He's got to invent revenge. But what if he never lost them? How do you paint that as a revenge game?
Mental gymnastics. I have no idea.
Or they're never revenge games. Like, it's a weird piece
saying
of logic.
Every game is a revenge game. It's just funny for a team that usually wins every game.
Well, he could do it because almost everyone passed on him in the first round of the draft. So maybe it's like a personal revenge.
That's my theory.
That's the tour. The never-ending revenge tour.
Well, but he does say whether we played them recently or not. So he's talking about teams and games and results, not just everybody screwed me over.
Listen, I mean, you want to get in the head of Lamar Jackson?
Good luck. Thanks.
Actually, it seems like a quite well-adjusted, pleasant place.
Yeah, it's a fine place to be.
He's like the most self-actualized quarterback in the NFL. I'll gladly go in his head. I'd switch places in a second.
That little number 10 next to Florida State will disappear when the new AP poll comes out this afternoon. After losing to Georgia Tech in Dublin, the Noles came home and lost to unranked BC last night.
Castellanos takes a knee, and the Eagles are going to walk out of Tallahassee with an opening night win. They have knocked off the number 10 Florida State Seminoles 28-13. BC never trailed, and Bill O'Brien picks up his first win as BC's head coach. Take a bow, Boston College. Well done all around.
Odd way to call it on Florida State Radio. The 28-13 win included 263 rushing yards. The Eagles had three TD drives of 60-plus yards in the upset. The Mets' win streak is 5 after a 4-1 final over the Red Sox last night. New York now a half game behind the Braves for the last NL wildcard spot. And last night at the U.S. Open, top seeds Iga Świątek and Jannik Sinner both got straight set wins at Arthur Ashe Stadium. The quarterfinals begin today with Americans Emma Navarro and Taylor Fritz in action on center court. Guys, back to you.
Who will Bill O'Brien be coaching next?
Like, not BC after this year?
Well, I mean, if he has one good season, he's going to be a high-demand coach, right?
Yeah. But can we judge a win over Florida? We don't know what a win over Florida State means, though, yet.
No, we don't.
I get the feeling
he's a good coach.
I think he's going to be good in college.
I don't know. I'm not as high on him.
He was not a good GM. He's a fine coach.
I don't know. I felt like Alabama went in that, by my effort, from Dable to Sark to Bill O'Brien, and he sort of slowed down that attack.
As the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I was not a huge Bill O'Brien at Alabama guy. I mean, I did put up some big numbers, but did he win the last? He probably did win the last title. But
he's kind of the only guy as far as Belichick assistants. Like, we always say all the Belichick assistants stink, but I mean, he did have a lot of playoff opportunity. He did have a lot of playoff appearances, pardon me, with the...
Yeah, I just think going 1-0 against a Florida State team that might be terrible does not mean that he's the next $12 million a year coach.
No, he doesn't, but he's got the name and he does have a pedigree of being a high-level coach. So I think it's whether it's the NFL and going back to the NFL or whether it's going to be in college. If he has a good season with BC, he's gone.
Didn't he almost take a coordinator job this year?
With Ohio State.
Yeah.
Ohio State.
So, yeah, he's gone. I don't know. I'm not sure. You are giving a... I feel like... Maggie, you're like taking my overreaction juice pretty strong today.
Meanwhile,
you put USC in the title game. You have Bill O'Brien getting
the
LSU
job. Title game.
Okay.
The Big Ten title game. Yeah, not the title game.
You have all of a sudden you were looking at the Idaho Vandals as a possible group of five powerhouse.
Nope, that's Boise. I will not jump off Boise. Okay, we have some NFL award predictions to get to. Bogus, thank you. Who is winning Rookie of the Year? Defensive Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, and who's the first coach fired and the one team that is poised to disappoint everybody. We've got the good and the bad coming next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, talked a lot of college football this show, as we will continue to do every show. But we got to get some NFL picks here on the record, Pearl. And we're doing preseason, we're doing awards, rather, individual awards. And we're going to do some good and also some of the bad stuff as well. Now, we've already made a few picks, so let's just recap them for everybody. For MVP, you have who?
CJ Stroud. Who do you got?
I have Jordan Love. So we're both going with some relatively young guys, kind of stepping more into the spotlight. For Defensive Player of the Year, you have who?
A guy named Micah Parsons in
Dallas. I've heard of him. Micah Parsons for you. Defensive Player for me is going to be Chris Jones of the Kansas City Chiefs. Offensive Player of the Year, you had who?
Justin Jefferson. I'm actually grittying right now if you're listening on the radio. You just can't hear it.
And for my Offensive Player of the Year, I went with Jahmyr Gibbs of the Detroit Lions. So that's where we had to leave it last hour. And we're going to pick it back up now to finish out the rest of our NFL individual awards. So let's go to Offensive Rookie of the Year, Perloff.
All right, I'm going to zag a little bit. Everyone has Caleb Williams. Let's go with the number two overall pick, Jaden Daniels in Washington. Cliff Kingsbury will dial up some easy plays for Jaden Daniels. Adjust quickly. He can run. Now, a big part of this is a hope that he doesn't get injured because he will run. He's so fast and throws such a pretty pass. I think Caleb Williams is going to be great, too. I just think that Jaden Daniels will have slightly gaudier numbers. Kind of like when RG3 came in at the number two pick at Washington and beat out Andrew Luck, who is the number one overall pick, the generational quarterback for Rookie of the Year. Jaden Daniels, RG3 2.0. Hopefully he doesn't have the second year that RG3 had after his knee got torn up because of the
terrible turf in Washington. But I'm really high on Jaden Daniels, so I'll take him as a slight upset over Caleb Williams. Who do you got?
I'm not going to overthink this one. I'm going to go with the favorite. I'm not going to feel bad about it. Caleb Williams, I think, is going to be wire to wire. I think he already has like a pretty substantial lead in people's minds because he looked the part so much in the preseason.
What?
I'm telling you, I think
He wasn't even the best. Bo Nix was the best preseason quarterback.
There's a way that Caleb plays in terms of keeping the plays alive, the wow plays.
Not taken a snap.
Caleb Williams?
In the pros.
Well, okay, but neither is Jaden Daniels.
You and Zoo are thinking he's watching too much Hard Knocks. There's nothing's happened. You can't say that about him.
The connection with Rome Odunze, I just think he's like the leader in the clubhouse already in people's minds because if he's good, he will have been thought of to live up to the hype. So I'm going to go with Caleb Williams for Offensive Rookie of the Year. What about Defensive Rookie of the Year?
This one's easy. You saw what Florida State did against Georgia Tech and Boston College. Obviously, they lost the greatest player of all time, Jared Verse.
You would think so.
Jared Verse is going to go right into the Rams, be a superstar, kill opposing quarterbacks. I liked him anyway. He was such a good player last year at Florida State. Rams seem to really know what they're doing drafting. I'm not sure that they really wanted to stay there and pick him, but Jared Verse is in a great spot to get a lot of numbers there with L.A.
For my Defensive Rookie of the Year, I'm going to go with Dallas Turner, who is the first-round pick of the Minnesota Vikings. So, obviously, he's going to be in a backup role, looks like, in terms of linebacker. But with Brian Flores, I think it's possible that he's going to see a lot of time in the rotation here. And I just think that if the Vikings are going to do anything, now that J.J. McCarthy is hurt, I think the defense, you have Justin Jefferson for your offensive player of the year. With Sam Darnold getting him the ball, good luck to you. I don't think the offense is going to be the thing with Minnesota, even with Kevin O'Connell there. I think the defense is going to have to be sort of the leader, and I think Dallas Turner could get a lot of shine because I think the defense is going to get a lot of credit if they're hanging in games.
Well, that's the reason I give it to Jefferson, because if Jefferson has 1,800 yards with Sam Darnold as quarterback, he's the all-time offensive player of the year. But I do like that is a good logic there. Okay, what award is next?
Comeback Player of the Year. Who do you have?
That's easy. Coming back from four snaps in 2023. I'm not going to overthink this one. Aaron Rodgers just has to show up and have a mediocre season, and he's Comeback Player of the Year.
Yeah, I want to do the same as you, but I'm going to go a little bit different. I think Kirk Cousins is in line for Comeback Player of the Year, coming off the Achilles also. And Kirk Cousins has kind of had this, like, I think Rodgers has some adversity because of the Achilles. I think Kirk Cousins has a little bit more adversity. Like, he went to Atlanta thinking he's the no-doubt starter, and then, boom, they draft his replacement, you know, 2 months later or whatever it was. And so if Kirk keeps the job, keeps the vibes, if they win the division, I think he gets credit for, like, being a good teammate. Like, Aaron Rodgers runs the Jets. Like, there's no one looking over his shoulder. Cousins has to come back and also hold off a talented rookie, we think. So I think Cousins would be my comeback player of the year.
Yeah, I mean, they are going to win the division at 9-8. I'm not sure that's going to merit it. You know, there's a chance.
Well, the Jets might win the division at 9-8.
Oh, no way.
10-7.
Whatever. Oh, the Jets have the Bills and the Dolphins sitting there. The Falcons have no one. I think the only thing I will say about this, I think my choice, Aaron Rodgers, has more implosion possibility. Like, the Jets could be bad just because I picked them to win the AFC East last year, and they did not. I picked them again this year, and I'm afraid the same darn thing's going to happen. You know why? Because they're the Jets!
Yeah, well, I mean, the Falcons are also the Falcons. So.
True. Okay, you got me there.
Yeah.
But the Falcons have been 7-10 for about 4 years in a row, so what's the bottom is not that bad. I think the Falcons are just going to sneak through there, possibly be slightly mediocre, and get to the playoffs. Is that enough for Kirk Cousins? Because you talk about expectations. Everyone thinks Kirk Cousins is going to be pretty good. He's Kirk Cousins. I think Rodgers is going to be watched closely, and anything Rodgers does is going to be so exciting to Jets fans. They're just going to be... I just think he has actually a lower bar to pass. Like, Aaron Rodgers does anything in a Jets uniform, it's going to be really appreciated.
Yeah, he'll be a hero. We're doing our... predicting our individual awards here. Final one, the Coach of the Year, Pro.
I'll go chalk. DeMeco Ryans, Houston Texans. I'm picking them to win a lot of games this year. I think he is a good coach. I don't think he had a great game against Baltimore in the playoffs last year. He had no plan for Lamar Jackson running, which is weird because you are going against the Baltimore Ravens. But he just seems to have some of that Kyle Shanahan
always going to be good Magic. I think he's going to be a consistently good coach. Guys love playing for him, and he's got all the talent in the world. I think that defense, we talk a lot about C.J. Stroud, he's my MVP pick. I think that defense is not being talked about enough. God, they're loaded on paper. I'm going Houston Texans coach DeMeco Ryans.
Now, I had a thought here that I have Jordan Love as my MVP pick. So if he wins MVP, then obviously Matt LaFleur is doing something really good, and maybe he would win Coach of the Year. But then I almost forgot about someone very important who has entered the landscape, and that is Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh, year one with the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh is so good at making his impact be known right away. And if the Chargers win 10 games, I think he's getting Coach of the Year. And if they're battling with the Chiefs for that division and finally not just handing the division to the Chiefs, then I think Jim Harbaugh gets lots and lots of shine. I don't think this Michigan scandal has anything to do with that. I think people will vote for him. Jim Harbaugh is my Coach of the Year.
I like it. I mean, I have the same concern. I don't care if it's Jim Harbaugh combined with John Harbaugh and Jack Harbaugh. Can that team stay healthy? Can Jim keep them healthy? I don't know what the power...
He's strength coach.
Yeah, I don't know. They're already... Everybody's Whatever. Hurt in camp.
Doesn't matter.
Name a player. Name a player and he's limped off the field at some point. It's just, you're talking about guys like Derwin James, who's never healthy. If it all comes together and they're all in the field, yeah, I'm in. That's a great one. I just worry about, you know, we're talking about the Jets. There's certain franchises. Can Jim Harbaugh, does he have the power, the charisma to turn around an entire history of chartering?
I mean, yes. magic in those khakis.
Took him a long time in Michigan.
Kind of. It took him a long time to beat Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, it took him a long time to be good.
Well, to win a national title, yes, but he did get there and immediately had success with the 49ers, immediately had success with Stanford and other places. I think you get this new coach bump with Jim Harbaugh. Okay, so those are our individual awards. We will tweet them out at Maggie and Pearl on X. Now, if we got to have the good, we got to have the bad, Pearl. So we know there will always be a coach, likely there'll be a coach fired in season. Who do you think is most likely to be the first coach fired?
I don't know why Dennis Allen is still in New Orleans. Did anyone explain that to me?
I don't know.
Yeah, he blows games. The team is completely uninspired. There's no reason to be a Saints fan right now. Yeah, you're probably going to have three good Derek Carr games randomly, but there's no rhyme or reason. There's no plan there. If they fall off, then it could easily start to go south, because I think at a certain point, just the lack of inspiration with that team is going to make them bad. They've been hanging around the division title, even when they're not good. Like last year, they came close. I think this year they might turn south. And if so, there's just absolutely no reason to keep Dennis Allen.
Well, this is also a good spot. If you are looking at these college quarterbacks and maybe they're doing a little bit better than you thought, maybe this quarterback class is a little better than you thought, that's good for the Saints. You got to start over with a new quarterback.
It's going to be hard for them to get to number one in that division.
No, they're not going to get to number one, but maybe this goes four deep. Maybe you end up getting Shadur or something like that. Okay. My first coach fired is from your Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. I don't know if the Eagles are going to be bad, but Sirianni, they could shuffle him out for a coordinator, and I don't even know if anyone would notice. I mean, he doesn't get along with Jalen Hurts. They have a lot of ground to make up in terms of their relationship. They say everything's good now, but is it? And if you hit a little bit of adversity, does Hurts start going his own way? And they're going to side with the quarterback over the head coach, because that's just smart business. Howie Roseman knows that, the GM. Sirianni, to me, is your first coach fired.
Well, you can't fire a coach with a 500 or above record.
Right? I think the Eagles can do whatever they want to do. There is so much faith in Howie Roseman that if he feels like you need to make a switch, I think they will do it. And if Sirianni is making life harder or just less easy for Jalen Hurts, he's gone.
No, I think they have to be bad. I don't think you could. I don't think it's ever happened. Has it ever happened midseason? I mean, it's got to be bad to fire a coach midseason. You have to be like 2-6.
Quickly, team that's going to disappoint.
Dolphins.
The 49ers. All right, that's it. Ryan Botcher, thank you. Big Zoo at our Zoom, and thank you, EJ Stewart. Of course, thank you, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, the Weedos, the coffee drinkers. We're back tomorrow with so much more. Maggie Perloff.
Thank you.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.